I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 16th of August, 2020. And as always, I hope you're doing as best as you can under the circumstances of utter chaos and madness, all organized, of course, because what's happening now is the redesigning of society across the planet and redefining what we are as human beings and societies in general, in fact. Right down to genders, as you well know, it's been a big one top for quite a few years, is all concepts of what used to be called normalcy or normative is being redesigned again, all of it, in order to destroy resistance among society to changes, the planned changes. It's harder, very, very difficult to bring in a whole new way of living without destroying the previous generation. Because naturally they'll dig their heels and say, no, you can't do this, and this is ridiculous and mad and all bit. And so bit by bit, over maybe a 20, 25-year period, you chip away through education, through the school system, grab them young, and they grow up to about 25 or so. And they've got all the new ideas instilled in them, all the new indoctrinations, and it works awfully well in them. And then you've already hammered and hammered through repetition, through all kinds of dramas and movies and so on, where they embed all the different new norms into their storylines, etc., until all age groups parrot the same stuff because they can't trust their own logic anymore, nor their own memory either. And that's how it's all designed, you see, until you can't trust your own judgment. Just listen to the experts. In fact, last week I mentioned one of the articles that came out from the top groups of thinkers, scientific thinkers, telling us not to think for ourselves on these very important topics. We're not qualified to think deeply on them. So there you go. This is the farce of the time we're living through, a complete redesigning of society. And every possible method of deception and manipulation, psychological manipulation and coercion, is in use right now. It's quite astonishing to watch it all. And it's too big for even one person or a group of people to keep up with all of it, because it's overwhelming in a sense. But years ago, when they were hammering on about artificial intelligence and how it was going to reshape society, and Al Gore came out, because Al Gore is a player in certain areas for financial teams and for fleecing the public for carbon taxes and trading them and making a profit on them, all these sort of things. So we're ruled by crooks, if you haven't figured it out. And especially since the time of post-democratic society, which the Club of Rome came out with years ago. They said on behalf of their masters that paid them, the big think tank, the Club of Rome, and they were given a task, different tasks actually, about redesigning society. Because the elite themselves in the big business classes, the ones that the corporate raiders types that were going across the world and having their big talks with CEOs that were treated like gods and with their innovative ideas of, having workforces or slashing it to the bone and then reselling off what was left of corporations, the corporate raiders, they literally wanted to take over the whole system. And this darn nuisance called democracy was a problem. It got in the way of profits, quick profits. So if you could do away with democracy, you could get your big plans made and worked out and implemented with no real kickback from the public. You see, you'd eliminate the public problem. And that's what you've been living through ever since, including the whole idea of climate change. It was a Club of Rome that came up with that idea of blaming humanity for the climate, you see. And that way you could bring in the sustainability, you could bring in all kinds of new ideas, a new way of living, again austerity for the public, with high prices for everything, mind you. So the corporations they're not losing anything, they get more in fact for giving you less. Especially in all energy forms too, like technocracy planned long ago. So you're living through an agenda, a big, big agenda, and of course science and business work together under the guise of public-private partnerships. And of course, what they do is they put in businessmen, often, sometimes minor businessmen, as politicians. They're assets, if you like. And many of them actually are assets of intelligence agencies. That's been going on for years. Obama was well connected, so was Clinton, actually, the Rhodes Scholar Bill Clinton. Went over to London to study there with his scholarship, Oxford Rhodes Scholarship, and then disappeared there and spent the rest of his time in the Soviet Union. And then came back and they made him president of America. It's quite interesting to watch what happens, because you see, the real world has got nothing to do with what you've been brainwashed to believe. It really hasn't. I mentioned it before, this strange travel of important people and sciences and so on during the whole Cold War is the last thing you'd allow in reality for international meetings of this or that, however. You never allow it, so let your best people go there and collaborate with your supposed enemies and exchange ideas and information, etc. But they did that every year. So nothing made any sense until you really figure out there's a different game on the go. The game's always against the public. And first and foremost, you must understand what power is. And power is a means of gaining control over people, either with or without their consent. It depends how you do it. And to benefit, of course, agendas again, you know, like post-democratic, get the job done and to heck with the public. That type of idea. Or, as I say, it's also used for business in this day and age. Business was elevated, as I say, during the time of the corporate raiders to a much higher level. And they literally did hostile takeovers of businesses by grabbing the shares and so on, getting the controlling shares, and then slashing everything to the bone. And what you don't realize is back in the 1970s and 80s, you had lots of family-owned businesses, and maybe second or third generation. Big businesses, too, with factories, etc. And they still had that idea of having responsibility, those who owned the businesses, to the people who worked there with them. This strange old-fashioned idea that you're responsible in some way. And of course, the new system was again, the corporate raiders. They had no conscience about anything like that. And they called everybody dead weight, and you'd slash them and kick them off, and folk coming up to retirement lost their everything, their pensions, a lot. These were early warning signs and symptoms of what was to come for, again, this technocratic, as they call it, technocratic system of controlling the world, you know. There's nothing in Technocracy Inc. that said that those that would control it should be poor, or as poor as the general public were going to be. On the contrary, you see, so it's very appealing, this idea of technocracy, where everything is reduced to energy. And of course, energy at the moment is simply transmuted into a dollar value or a pound value or a euro value or whatever it happens to be. And you're subject to it, you see. But it really, supposedly, under their idea, was that everything is energy. To make a product, it's all energy. Somebody puts out the energy to make this, or change it from this to that, it's all really gradients and change of energies, you see. And so the idea was to bring in a perfect world where those who had the right to rule it would be technocrats. Not an elected right, but a natural right, just like communism idea, without being subjected to or really responsible to the public again, because you see, they were the experts, and experts should run the world. That was the idea. It's quite amazing, as I say, when you look at today, and the CEOs of corporations that walk on water with their ridiculous TED Talks, they always have to create their own lingo. To be in-house, you're one of us. Here's the latest terminology to be cool. They come up with new terms all the time about their particular area, and they flap their hands a lot, like Bill Gates does, because they've all done their motivational, you know, training, etc. And apparently impresses punters if you flap your hands a lot and wave your arms and run them down the stage. And they're like peas in a pod, in a sense. And they have to be really innovative, which means even more startling than the person before them. That's what they mean by innovation. And the idea, too, is interlaced with psychology, where psychologists go into the social area long ago, you see, to do with factory management and so on, and how to manage the people who were doing monotonous tasks and making them work harder and faster, and then trying to deal with the emotional upset it would cause so that they didn't crack up and claim compensation, things like that. So make everything more efficient. In fact, you'd get them on drugs if they would be, as long as they could still put out the same output that was quite good, you see. So put them all on drugs and even give them counselling. If they're really good employees, you could put down to insurance and put them, and get counselling for them so they could manage to handle the extra stress at work, you see. And so psychology is a big, big part of managing us all with technocracy today. Look at the COVID thing. How many millions of dollars have been spent using these behavioral insights teams to con us and lie to us, to get us to do things that they want, that the elite want us to do on behalf of those who rule us? I don't say we govern us, they rule us. I don't elect anybody, so why really me? I don't vote. It's a con game. It's been a con game all my life. The elite have always got their people into office, and I'll touch on a few things tonight that even show it, perhaps more openly and evidently than things beforehand. For instance, that there's some good videos out right now. There's a lot of good videos if you want to spend your life watching videos, but and I can't even get the speed to watch them because I'm getting hammered by it. It isn't just going after your income or shadow banning now. I've had this for years. They literally have got my server to slow me down to like 1 to 2 megabits per second up until midnight. And I can't watch anything until midnight, you see. And then like a magic switch, it just turns on, yeah? And which is what it is, it's a switch. So I get throttled and choked and so on. I had that years ago, the same problem. For years and years and years, when I was doing lots of shows and so on, like sometimes 5 a day, and putting out information that people really hadn't heard before. I kind of broke the rules because that's why I came out. People were navel-gazing. You had a lot of people in the States who stuck on the same topics, but it was navel-gazing. They didn't realize there's a big world agenda. And I came out and I didn't connect the dots for them all and give them information and what was really, really happening. And that caused a big stir at the time. But after a while, I got hammered. I could, as I say, I'm right back to where I was, where I was getting one or two. I was going to download something, in fact, before I did this talk. And it was only, I think, 24 megabytes. It was the speed is that slow. And this is not cheap, what I'm paying for a satellite, yeah? And it said it would take me a day to download the 24 megabits. That's how bad I get hit hammered here. So don't think that I'm sitting here and I'm looking. I've been getting hammered since day one. I was getting shadow banned before you heard the term. Once you realized what I was talking about, and it was like a panic mode, and suddenly, people couldn't find me. It's very suddenly. Because I was saying things I didn't want the public to. You understand, you control information by controlling people. And you understand, too, that in the US especially, and the intelligence agencies in Canada use the US as well, they work with them, that during the Cold War, the CIA set up what was then Patriot Radio across America from the 60s and 70s on. And I even hired a lot of pastors and put them on to preach against communism as an antidote to communism. And that worked off pretty well for a time. But then they brought other people in too. And really, it was thick, really thick with propagandists for the CIA. And the old CIA never gives up something that works for, even if it gets to be kind of peacetime. There's never peacetime with the CIA. And the CIA has got nothing to do with what Americans think it has got to do. It really hasn't. The whole idea of a new world order that America must sink into after financing and building in this new world order, and they must themselves sink into it, is a CIA creation. For those who haven't figured it out themselves. And the CIA, with different front groups, just like communism, they did many front groups, worked and gave you the Macy groups and all the other groups that combined and worked together, even with Bertrand Russell, he worked with them all, and the Frankfurt schools, and so on. They all worked together to bring a whole new culture in preparation for a world culture, which they would submerge all the nation states into one big system for total control, and business and technology would rule as we have today. To such an extent that most folk haven't figured it out yet. They still think we're fighting other countries. As I say, tonight I'll put up some links to YouTubes and things, little bits I've seen. I could put after midnight sort of thing. I could see them after midnight, little clips and bits and bites of before I get cut off. And I do get cut off all the time. So I don't think I sit here and I've got it quite easy. I've been hammered since, for many years, put it that way. Many, many years getting hammered with problems. And it's all intentional, naturally. Because those who think they're living in a reality, a little bubble of, we're democratic, or even if you're in a republic, you've got a democratic right to vote and so on, then it's a republic. Well, go back to sleep. And I think George Carlin said it, the comedian George Carlin, he said about the American dream, he says, of course, he says, you have to be asleep to believe in it. It's a dream. And he says, it's a big club and you ain't in it. And that's so true. But today, with the complete interconnection of agencies, like spy agencies, and business, big business, technology and assets. You see, most people who work for agencies are assets. They work in front companies and so on. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of front companies, especially in intelligence work, to do with technology. And they share it and they sell it across the world. And this whole idea that you're living in a nation that protects its borders is a joke anyway, but even its airwaves borders and its AI borders is an utter farce. Because they've got people working in all different countries to manage us all, basically. And again, as I say, I'll touch on that tonight because it's important you understand how some of it works, at least some of it works. Even if what the ones that are showing you it sometimes are maybe an agency themselves, eh? Never ever stop and just take everything and swallow it for granted. But years ago, I can remember talking about companies. One of them was Stratfor. And Stratfor is well known as an intelligence asset. They'll call it an asset, even though it's all intelligence folk that work in it, often from different countries too, one in particular. And but they work with the CIA and all the top ones, and the Pentagon has its own agencies. Everybody's got its own. The Navy has its own agency, a very high one, in fact, the U.S. Navy, just like the U.K. and Britain. So but they all work together for the common good, which is their own wallets and the promotions, and continuation after retirement into very lucrative positions for in the military-industrial complex. So once again, it's only people at the bottom that think these are our guys, you know, and gals. And no, it's not. They're not at all. They're bought and paid for, and they often have less integrity than the person in the street who's way more patriotic than the person up yonder. And that again is very true. Because of the incredible indoctrination that we all have. And it's our natural instincts we have to be patriotic. It's very, very, it's tribal. Very tribal. And we get attached even to the dirt we're born on, basically. That's where your nation is. It's your home. It's a natural thing. So it never dawns on you that the people who are paid to so-called represent it, even in armed forces at the very, very top, are often on the payrolls for much higher agencies, the intelligence services, that are working for a different, completely different agenda, and including their own pursuit of incredible wealth for its members. And there's nothing they don't know about you. Nothing. And I used to give the talks years ago, and I said, you know, you're giving all your data to them every day willingly on Facebook and Twitter and even your emails are all, you know, they're all read. But from that, in a daily program, they can update it automatically. All your profiles are updated automatically, and whatever you add to you, to people you're communicating with, is all put on your profile. And they work out, and they've got pretty perfect simulations they can run with you, a virtual you, putting you through the virtual you through scenarios, like life scenarios, and predicting very accurately how you will handle these different situations. It's all sussed out. And that's all sold from intelligence agencies to other private agencies that work with them. That's how they get around the legalities of things, by using private agencies too, you see. It's quite something, eh? But don't think for one moment that your government, in fact, your government is so far off into the future, in a sense, and has been for a long time. Most folk will never catch up to what it's all about. And I've mentioned some awfully good drama series. There's more reality in them, like The Last Enemy series in Britain, to show you how far the technology was even then from GCHQ. Watching everybody, and not just in their own country, but across the world, including people they knew would migrate to Britain from other countries. And so it all worked out who they were before they'd even come into the country. It's just astonishing. And then, as I say too, the agencies themselves, they're often competing with each other for, again, it's always for money at the top, the very, very top. Because information is incredibly well, you know, people buy it for big bucks. Massive, you know. Blackwater, I think, recently bought over one of the genealogical research firms that you all volunteer to give all your data about your DNA and your heritage to. You just can't help people, eh? You can't. And insurance companies just love this. Oh, look, now we know these folk are prone to this whole lineage there, and who they're related to, their other cousins. They're probably so much percentage prone to this and that as they are too. And it's all worked out with algorithms pretty precisely. And up goes your insurance. Or I'll say, well, in the present state with the COVID nonsense, you know, now that they're deciding, you know, openly who's going to live and who's going to die before you go into the hospital, should you happen to go in, if they're even bored, going to bring you in and give you treatment. Because, you see, they're trying to spend the money on the ones who are more likely to come through. Have you figured out the hospitals are not privately owned? They're privately owned in a good deal, at least half of them. Like half of their cost is privately owned. Corporations work them all. Tonight I'll put up a good documentary. It's up on Vimeo. A free, yeah, I should watch it for free. I think mostly it's still paid elsewhere, but Vimeo has, the permission of John Pilger, a free one up on the National Health Service in Britain, the war on the National Health Service. And he does a good job, as always, into what's happened when they show the corporate raiders that go in there and they slash and burn, and how they can, they took over hospitals for like East Anglia as one project, and multi-million dollar, you know, they get paid, the CEOs get multi-million dollars paychecks to go into the social constructs of the hospitals, so financed by the people, the taxpayers, and they plunder them for themselves and destroy how it works and destroy lives in the process. And they give you in the documentary that he puts out one example, say the East Anglia, where I think it was East Anglia Hospital, with this guy, Ali Parsa. Now, Ali Parsa owns, at the moment, many his fingers in lots of pies to do with healthcare and so on, for profits, naturally. He was a head guy at Goldman Sachs before all this kind of thing, and now he's got an app out, the Babylon app, in the UK, so you can get virtual GP or doctor consultations, when it costs you, of course. He's just a humanitarian, you understand. So that's Ali Parsa. He apparently has been on TED Talks before, again, a lot of hand-waving and very convincing character, who destroyed some of the hospitals. He's been brought in as management consultants. That's what they call them. We're management consultants. We can help you run it more efficiently. And they slash and burn to the bone for profits, as they partly privatize these hospitals. Right down in, to some of those hospitals. But anyway, you'll see it in the documentary. The guy should be literally put up there with lots of other faces on massive billboards for the villains that they are, and called that, villains that should have been tried and put in prison for what they've done. Right up to Cameron and all the other different characters that have been, and Tony Blair, to all the usual, all these folk from different parties, they're all the same folks working on the same agendas. And the idea is not to help the people, but to enrich themselves, public-private partnerships. Where have we heard? That came out, public-private partnerships, from Prince Charles. You've often heard of that. But the fact is, the ones who brought it out were from the guys in the Trilateral Commission, way back, you know, that they would bring in their system, which again is technocracy. But it's amazing to see all work this way, you see. And what's public-private partnerships? You'll pay for it all, and we'll privatize it. So there'll be profit for these guys who are in the private parts, but the public will pay for the upkeeps and yada, yada, yada. And the costs of running it all that. Not a bad deal, eh? And because of public-private partnerships, the people have seen their infrastructure sold off to these corporate fascists who plunder you big time and make it more and more inefficient, whether it's electric or water supplies or gas or whatever it happens to be. All these, again, energy areas of technocracy. And it's not stopped. It's to bring a whole world in like this, in fact, with all the resources under the control. Going way back again to Lord Milner, Alfred Milner, and the British Empire idea. It was something to do with going across the world. They told the peasants in Britain this, is to bring civilization to the world. Ancient Rome said the same thing. Because it rolls off the tongue easily. We're bringing civilization, you know, across the world. But it's really to get resources and a tax base, because you can plunder folks with their taxes. And that's what they did, of course. They didn't start the idea. Even India itself, they had different Maharajis in India who lived off the taxes off the public and all the transactions through commerce and so on. And many of them liked the idea, in fact. When Britain and Clive of India amalgamated a lot of the country under the British Empire, some of them liked the Maharajis because they could split the loot. And Britain liked that too, because they worked awfully well. The elite of Britain worked awfully well with the caste system of India. Because those at the top, the Brahmins, were pretty much like the folk who ruled Britain or the city of London. They had a complete disdain for the lower castes, you see. So it was a marriage made in heaven, you see. And they could plunder them all and share the taxes, etc., of the peasants. So no, don't think that Britain invented this idea, or at least I call it London, because the British folk were the same as everybody, even the sepoys, etc., in India that worked for Britain, the military there, for the Raj. They were just the same, young guys who get recruited in the armies, and it never dawns on them, really, that they're working for something that's corrupt. They think they're being patriotic, generally. Every country is the same, isn't it? Because it's a natural instinct to defend your own country. When a con comes in, you're getting used, they generally never figure that out till it's too late, if they live that long. But that's the system we're living in today, is a CIA-type operation that goes way back, before the CIA was given a name. As I said to Lord Alfred Milner, the city of London, the banking fraternity, would rule And of course, a lot of that, it was shifted to the Council on Foreign Relations. They shared it and divvied it up in Kipling's time. And they created the CFR in America in the 1920s. And they took their share of it by diverting taxes and so on to special benevolent funds to help folk across the world as it took over other nations. And they could have a massive economic hotspot in New York City, of course. The Empire State. What empire is that? Eh? What empire are they talking about? Well, guess. Guess, folks. So folks never generally figured out. And it's not their fault. But what I will say here is that no matter what the information is that you get, you have to really try and verify it for yourself as best you can. And don't take anything at face value. Because there are so many players in the artificial intelligence world that we're in today, so many players that you're generally being deceived by somebody along the way. Even people who innocently might part the same stuff off that they've got from elsewhere or send it to and really believe it, they'll fall for it at times, you know? Because you have no idea of the power of manipulation through artificial intelligence. And today, with a lockdown, you can actually see it. When more and more folk are sitting at home on the internet all the time, and some of the things that they'll freak out about, they shouldn't be freaking out about, and they're panicking, because that becomes the real world. And they're not seeing people, they're not even meeting people. That's one of the consequences and the casualties of isolation. Is that they start to distrust themselves, and then they'll start falling for things that they shouldn't be falling for, you see. Very sci-fi, isn't it? You're locked in your own little world, and you have no human contact, or very little. And what you get could be coming from, again, computers themselves, just algorithms hitting you, or just, I've mentioned before, the 77th Brigade in Britain, of thousands of cyber warfarers, guys that they employ, and their assets, which run to the multi-thousands of them across the world to use them. This one group based in Britain for the Department of Defense. And these are the guys that literally will pick up those who are putting out information and then attack them like crazy. They've already got all the information on your personality. They know your Achilles heels, and they can hit you and try to destroy you internally by pretending to even befriend you. Be awfully careful of this technique. Now, tonight, I'll put up a link as well. And be wary as well, because you don't know where it comes from, really, or who's really behind it, but it's with Millie Weaver, who I don't know much about her myself, except that who knows if she's involved herself in some kind of intelligence. I just don't know. I don't know. But it could very possibly be, especially when you see the people who have come out and put a video out that she was working on, that Weaver was working on, with a woman called Tora. This is a name she goes by, Tora, and another fella who also worked for security agencies in the U.S. Very interesting. There's no doubt about it. It's got all the positive facts that come out with this incredible spider web of intrigue and blackmail through intelligence gathering on every single individual, and it really goes into it in some depth. I've only seen little bits and pieces again because I can't get at a constant speed here. I'm getting hit hard because of what I do, and I pay money for it too, to get that ridiculous speed. But, as I say, be careful, because, as again, the one thing that I do know is that they do go in to how Donald Trump's been hammered and hit. And I don't go into politics myself, because I see them all as just players in the same game, politicians, who are often backed by even foreign powers themselves, with big agendas, you see. And I've thought about what I know of Trump, and I had people when he got elected and said that he's our last hope. I thought, oh my goodness, did they know anything about this guy? is our last hope. A guy from New York is our last hope. And then you think about his speeches. His speeches are awfully important, even though they're probably written by a speechwriter, you see. But when he was running the last time, he did say he was going to allow Big Pharma and the vaccine industry to cut a lot of corners and get things out to, it was for the public's good, you see, get things out to the public, people in need, with all the incredible testing and delays that they have to go through for safety. He's going to rush things through. So that was a clue to me right off the bat, who was also backing him. And it was important. I knew then something was going to come down the pike where this was getting put into force, and bingo. But also, he's, and I know Obama did this too, I believe, but they allowed, I remember reading it at the time and talking about it in a talk where they were allowing pharmacology to, or at least the guys who own the companies, drug companies, to put in different ingredients, substituting ingredients, into well-known medications. Because they'd be cheaper, these substitutes, than what they were using already. But they may be maybe less safe, and of course they maybe not have, it would not have the same efficacy, you see. So that, yeah, the bigger prices are bigger prices for the same drugs, and using cheaper chemicals to make them, substituting the ones for the ones that were proven. That was another part of it too. Well, pharmacology is one of the biggest rackets out there, unfortunately. It's anything that is to do with people and helping people is an open door for corruption. You know, we're from the government, we're here to help you. That's another one too, is from the state itself. But from big business, from we're part of your community nonsense and stuff like that, right down to we're here to help you. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry in the States alone. And these guys are not there to help you. Look at this incredible OxyContin farce we had for years and years with the family that did it, with again, a lot of help. Eh? Knew darn well that this is going to addict millions of people and kill a lot too. Well, they were big profits, big business, and how much collusion of folk in government went along with that. And of course, you think money didn't? Of course money changes hands, eh? There's other ways of getting money to the people without it being found out. And because we're run by corruption, for God's sake. Utter corruption. From the top to the bottom, there's nothing out there that's not corrupt. Including all those at the head of the armed forces. Integrity went out a long time ago, unfortunately, you know. And that was just get rich quick. And the massive military-industrial complex that built up during the Cold War and really quadrupled itself probably at least in the last 15, 20 years of the Cold War. Just got worse and worse after the Cold War and changed its sights on the public. I remember years ago, I said, well, what will they do now? What will the military-industrial complex do now that the Cold War is over, they said? Well, it's going to change its way and go into surveillance. And that's where their money would be, in high-tech surveillance of the populace. So there you go, eh? From defending you, because they're there to defend you, you thought, right? to surveilling you and selling you and selling all to government by lobbying. Folk never really figure it out. So anyway, I'll put this link up to Millie Weaver, and she apparently was arrested, I think, who knows, arrested on Friday perhaps, but because of this video. But something to do also with having access to Hillary Clinton's emails or something, which I thought lots of folk probably had. So we'll soon find out. But the same token too, be careful of everything, because you don't know who's working for whom, for what. You really don't. And I won't go any further in some areas, but you really don't. But in the little bits I could glean from in the video, they did go into some of the tricks of the trade, and the incredible corruption within all these different agencies that the general population don't even know exist. There's hundreds and hundreds of the front companies, and you'll see the same characters in the US Congress and in the State Department and in the military at the top. All CEOs of the biggest big corporations are buying and selling information for private companies that the taxpayer funds initially through the CIA and NSA, etc., and all get shared with all these private companies, and they make money off you all. But they it did go into how they can manipulate every kind of vote, and how they've got the target areas of even people who riot and have revolutions. They can actually get them all excited by using the same techniques, by the way, as the 77 Brigade in Britain, and using them in the States, because they know everybody. They're all on cell phones. Obama gave them the cell phones, and they even used that against them. Manipulated all the folk with the free cell phones for the Ferguson riots. You hear the guys explaining how it was done. And I mentioned last week, maybe the week before too, that do you think that all these folk who are rioting, they don't know all about you? All about you. Never mind that the live assets they have amongst you there, they'll turn you all in down the road when it's time to do so. But yeah, they can literally really work on folks' emotions en masse very quickly, by the way, to stir up their angst, etc., by giving them false information, the fake news stuff targeted to their cell phones. Did you know that those so-and-sos are doing this to you? Yada, yada. And they all get the same information. And you can get them to riot just very, very quickly. Quite amazing. So anyway, there's some good stuff in the documentary. I haven't seen it all, because I can't, because of my speed and the internet. But again, be wary again as to when folk come forward to help. You don't know, is this another agency working for another agency? And so on. And there's some agencies, in Texas, for instance, and California, that are even foreign-owned, you know, that work with the CIA. So it's a murky world out there, as I say, and be very, very careful. But you can learn a lot if you want to, and it might make folk at least a bit more cautious, maybe with their own information, if it really matters, because there's nothing they don't know about you already. And it's disgusting. Our whole reality is utterly run by corruption, total corruption. And everywhere you look, total corruption. And they even mention that too. Everybody's blackmailable. If they want to get you, there's nothing they don't know about you. You'll hear that woman, Tora, in the documentary saying that, yeah, they can find out about, if they've got a target, for instance, find out who their acquaintances are, where their relatives are, and then check all the information of the folk who knew them years ago, and try and get every little bit of dirt on them they can possibly get, and then use it on them, blackmail them in a sense, to do their own bidding. And that's how the world is run today. Look what happened with the COVID thing, eh? And how many things were working up to a crescendo at the time. You had the Epstein case and the Ghislaine Maxwell, of course, all too conveniently timed for her arrest, knowing this was all going to be swept under the rug to an extent. And with a big, much bigger intelligence operation behind them all, massive intelligence operation, including the fixers and the players and the distributors and the managers of the intelligence agency in the States that was running them too and financing them. Incredible information. And it's all just gone quiet now, isn't it? Pretty well. Because those who control all information and target information to us all know how to do it, and how to just quieten away all the little references to Ghislaine Maxwell, and suddenly it's just COVID, and etc. That's how it's done. You've seen it yourselves doing searches now. As I say, I don't think there's a single search engine out there now that's untouched. I very much doubt it. And then it'll try to guide you off to the stories that they'd rather you looked at rather than the ones you're out to try to find. And it's not going to get any better, because our systems are utterly corrupt, the people are corrupt, and you can't fix it. It's so far gone, you know. Years ago I said too, I even when I first came out talking about things, I said, you know, I didn't have a computer then. I said, I didn't want one. I said, I knew what it was for. And I knew it would bring in a hellish world, you know. The old idea that Satan couldn't bring in his world of total control, a hell on earth, without the computer. Because of the complete access to everyone's private thoughts and doings continuously. Couldn't be done, I say. And I knew it wasn't for the public's benefit. I mean, ARPA had it for the military during the Cold War, and they had it since at least the 50s, actually. And right on, and it became DARPA, and then it gave you, at the bottom, obsolete technology, right up to the present time. It's still obsolete compared to what they had, in fact, even then. And they'll tell you it's the latest for big profits and all the rest of it. But it was all designed from the beginning to get all your information from you, including the big Google machine, the big massive intelligence operation that even ran their MySpaces and things. I think it did even mention that in a documentary. I think they mentioned that in a documentary about how they did a lot of startup companies themselves. And it's all to get folk to start dishing out their private information, which they would then acquire, you see. It's a morass out there of overlapping agencies, and both governmental and private agencies and private contractors, as they like to call themselves too, that work for them. It's just you can't fix it, folks. And the system was designed that way too, that there would be no protection for the people, the general population. Again, the military-industrial complex is a profit business. As I say, they said they were going to mass surveillance when they couldn't be making missiles and anti-missile ballistic missiles and so on. When at the end of the Cold War, they would go into an intelligence gathering over the public themselves, and spying on the public under the guise of security. Yeah. Can't be fixed. So sad, but that's the way it is. I said years ago too, many years ago, I said, don't throw away your little photocopiers, even though they can trace where everything comes from, because you don't see it, but there's actually a number which is available under certain lighting of every photocopy page that you make of any machine, because they can trace where that comes from too. That's how much we've been spied on, even before we were given access to the personal computer. I'm calling that personal. It's your personal computer, and I've got privacy on my personal computer. Your anti-spyware systems are parts of agencies too, working with them to get all your information. As you're using, you scan everything, it's getting sold off again, even if you pay for the program. It's so sad, isn't it? The corruption everywhere. But you gotta stop and say, well, wait a minute here. How do we get this far if humanity was so corrupt? And it's a good question. And most folks should come to that point and say, how do we even get this far? It's because you had checks and balances before. You had cultures that often, even if you were weaning off of Christianity like the West was, by force, actually, as they tried to elevate science above religion in order to dominate you more efficiently, you see. You got to understand that they knew where they were going to take it. But at least, if it was waning, Christianity was waning, you had your moral guidance from it. Whether you liked it or not, it was there. There were rights and there were wrongs, you see. These are moral things that which you grew up with. You knew when you were doing something wrong. Personally, I believe folk know when they're doing something wrong anyway. I really do, you know. But when you enter a materialistic system, an ex-moral society, or ex-moralistic society, into materialism, which is what you've all copied, and that was well explained in Political Punerology, excellent read, I've mentioned that many years ago, where there's psychologists and psychiatrists and the Soviet Union era, looked at their own politicians and compared them with the West and found out what they had in common, and they came up with the idea that they're psychopathic, and of course they are. But they also found out you can give, like the West, you see, it was always to do with the decadent West, they had copied materialism, because they threw Christianity out the window and copied another group of big business people whose whole life is business, money, 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 materialism. And when you start to adopt the completely materialistic system and elevate wealth to the top to replace God, then morality goes out the window anyway. That's a natural occurrence, you see. And that's what's happened. And it's all through the strata of society and all through your institutions. It's just greed is phenomenal. Right down to people talking about celebrities. What was a celebrity? It's someone who's given a lot of publicity by the publicity makers who own the system. Like the machinery that makes you pop stars or rock stars or whoever it happens to be. They're made. It's not because they've got a special talent that nobody else has got. It's because they're made to be. And they've been doing that for years and your whole life long before you were born. That's how they've made these stars. Just like vaudeville, for instance, and basic theatre in Britain. If you went back into the 1800s, you had these nice little, actually, I like some of the old theatres that retain some sort of the old style, where actors and actresses went on stage and they did their thing, but they weren't paid a lot of money. In fact, they were looked down on to an extent because it wasn't like a real job, you see. And they often were because they would break the rules of society, even in their acting. You had to show you what you did in acting. Then the women were looked upon as being rather gauche, as a gauche, you know, gauche, and or loose, as they used to say, or fast. I guess it's another term they used. Other, no, rather fast. And so loose morality was looked down upon by the general population. And they weren't wrong, actually. Often they were the people they liked their drinks and drugs too, you know, even then. But then once the big money folk came in and took over the whole industry of entertainment, morality immediately went out the window even further to a real nosedive. And they elevated them into stardom. Well, now they're stars, you see. The folk who just acted bit parts here and there and got big money for it. Now they got big money, they didn't before, and they made them celebrities. And of course, the idea of stars is important because you follow the stars. This is the idea. They're somebody's now. As whatever idiocy came out of their mouths would be parroted by lots of people through magazines, etc. And then they'd start to copying what they were being told in the magazines. Because these were famous people now, and I'll be like them now, you see. And so much of it was targeted at women. 97%, I remember giving the talks years ago, of the magazines right up into the 1980s and 90s in the US were targeted to women. And all advertisers will tell you, the study after study they do, in psychology and public relations that they do, you know, PR companies, will tell you that the women are far easier to influence. They'll try something new, where the men are way more conservative, you see. So you can change society through the women much easier. And that was an old idea, too. They've known that down through history. That's why in this COVID push right now, you'll see a lot of the women freaking out in stores and attacking people for not wearing masks and things like that, because they're watching TV all it, and they believe this. It really gets them emotional, you see. It's meant to switch on the emotions, not logic. It's to bypass logic and make you react as opposed to think and reason. And that's why it seemed really a lot of the women are just going nuts and attacking folk. There's lots of little clips out there, I believe, showing this. So we're manipulated all the time by following the stars. People who get millions, why do you get millions of dollars because someone tells you to stand here, right, and say this, and you say it. I used to think about the James Bond movies, you know. And when you saw it, they got paid, the guys that played Bond. And each little quip that came out of their mouths was written for them. Little short phrases, you know. And I'd always say there's another $1 million just for that quip, and here's another $1 million. And it really, lots of folk could have done it. None of the people who did this stuff were geniuses. Some of them were better liked than others and things like that. But the fact is, they're made into stars. Stand here, say this, you know, put your hand there, bring this woman towards you, push her away, blah, blah. And you're made a star, and you get millions of dollars for doing it. And then when you're brought out to speak on certain political points of your social conditions or whatever it happens to be, folk will suddenly listen to you like you're a somebody because you're rich. You're an actor who often doesn't know their own mind, a lot of the actors, you know, they really don't, because all they do is play other people. But and that's what George Clooney and Angelina Jolie, as you also made a member of the Cancer and Foreign Relations along with Clooney and a few other ones too, brought on board by them, because the public will follow them and take their opinions more seriously because they're actors and well known. Think about that in itself. It doesn't say much about us at all, does it? That if a Clooney says it, an actor, simply because he's well known and he's made famous, right? meaning wherever you look, you read his name. But by the machinery that makes them, suddenly you're going to start to, well, he said it, and he's a decent guy. You don't know the guy, you never met him, but you think he's a decent guy, and so therefore he's probably right about this topic that I haven't really looked into. So you adopt his opinion. Very easy, isn't it? And that's the way it goes. But everything is so fake, so incredibly fake. And it's sad how fake it is, and how the public themselves don't know. Look at all the old TV productions of rock groups, for instance, going way back, and how overproduced it all is. Even ABBA, I mean, yeah, you like the music and all that, but the mind on stage all the time. It's all miming. They couldn't do that live, even come out on a stage, because it takes a long time to prepare the kind of sounds to get the sound the same. Way too much time, in fact, on a stage to sing one or two songs, you see, then it's worth it. It would take you hours and hours to prepare it all. And so they come out and mime, and most folk don't know that. But so were all the other groups out there doing it too. Nothing was plugged in, their guitars weren't plugged into anything. But the kids growing up, the children growing up, they thought it was all real. It was all real, they thought. And often, their albums, it was session guys that would play the stuff for them. Because often they weren't good enough to play this stuff themselves. So you bring in session guys to play them and arrange them too often. But anyway, we're a sad lot, aren't we, as human beings, that most folk can't figure this out. But we truly are a sad lot. Now, everything's been fake. Yeah. And people look back in nostalgia to even the fake stuff, because every generation is supplied with, they don't create it, but they're supplied with a music for them that they'll live with for the rest of their lives and think back on fondly, you know. Because they were doing this at the time when I heard this song first, blah, blah, and it sticks with them. And as life gets worse and worse, as they get older, you look back a lot more frequently than they used to. And these kind of things, well, my goodness, yeah, it was kind of pleasant back then, you see. So, they were supplied with it. Your fashion was supplied too. It's a culture industry. It's complete. It's music, it's plays, it's drama, it's art.